Hey, Doc Danny here, and I just want to say thank you for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. If you want to get involved in the conversation and get your questions answered and feedback from myself and 1,500 other people within the PT Entrepreneur community, head over to Facebook and join the PT Entrepreneurs Facebook group. This is a great group for anybody that is in business or thinking about going into business for themselves and wants the support of other people like me and other practitioners out there that are entrepreneurs. So guys, thanks for listening. Enjoy this episode. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. What's up, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. I got my buddy Jared Moon on, Digital Marketing Ninja, talking about Facebook ads in particular. I know you guys have a lot of questions about Facebook ads. It's a love-hate relationship with Facebook ads. You know you're potentially supposed to be using them, but you don't know if you're actually using them effectively and or if Mark Zuckerberg is just taking your money, which is probably actually what's happening. He's taking everybody's money, but every once in a while we get a little bit back from him if we do a Facebook ad correctly. So Jared, first of all, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. Glad to be back.
Dallas, what's Dallas like right now? Like, is it super cold? It's really cold and rainy here, and it's supposed to snow potentially, but I don't know. How's Dallas doing?
So, you know, I just got out of North Carolina not that long ago, and there's like 20 inches of snow where I was living. So we missed that. So Dallas is all over the place, man. It was like 30 degrees and freezing rain this weekend, but I think we're on the way to getting some sun and 65 degrees later in the week. So
I feel like Dallas and Atlanta are really similar cities.
Yeah, like it sort jumps of like all over the place.
Sprawling. Yeah, they're like big sprawling suburbs primarily.
Yep, pretty much. Like if you were to actually look at the town I live in, it's like population 3,000. So you'd be like, wow, he lives in a small town. It's like, well, I'm like right next to Fort Worth. And then on the other side of me is Dallas. So, I mean, don't be fooled, you know.
They're going to converge on you eventually. It's just going to like
happening.
Sandwich you with more people. That's exactly what's going to happen, man. That's a really fast growing area. That's a great spot. So, all right, let's do this. Let's get into Facebook ads. So Facebook ads are something that we've used in our business, with Athletes Potential for, man, I guess going on probably like two and a half years now. And I feel like a lot of things have changed since then. And the reason I want to talk to you about this is because you probably spent more on Facebook ads than most people that I know. You spent maybe more than anybody that I know. And a lot of this is for your, because you have a digital business, right? So I guess Give everybody a little background about like why you spent so much money on Facebook ads. You know, it's for a purpose of growing your business.
Yeah. So basically running an online, fully online business, you know, the profit margins are pretty high. And so I actually looked at it kind of from a strategic standpoint a couple of years ago is, you know, if I don't have any overhead, I mean, I could go buy, like get a gym, right? I could rent some space and spend my money on that, or I could hire another employee to do something within the business, whether coaching or Facebook ads or something like that. But I looked at it back then as 100%. I had done like a little bit of Facebook advertising, but I was paying Facebook basically to be another employee in my company. And once you kind of wrap your head around that, because there is like, if you're going to hire somebody to bring in, like if you're to hire a inside sales associate or somebody to bring in more leads or generate more sales for your company, you'd obviously hold them to that, right? You'd be like, look, you bring in this much or there's no job, or you're not getting, and it's the same with Facebook, because and Facebook doesn't care if you fire them. They could really care less. But that's how I looked at it. And the mentality shift I had was, okay, Facebook is going to be an employee in my company. They're going to get paid really well, but they have to be bringing in some sort of ROI. So I had to also learn how to track all of that. You can't just like, you know, on a whim or like little fairies dancing around, I think this ad is working. You know, I hate all that stuff. And that's how I felt for a long time. So I had to get really good at tracking and look at Facebook being more of an employee as opposed to just this expense in my business. And once I kind of made that mind shift, spending more and more money on Facebook was never really a problem for me as long as the ROI was there.
Well, it's a good way to put it. Like the Facebook is an employee, right? Because people traditionally, I think if you're not, I had a very hard time with this when we first started doing advertising, paid advertising. It, you know, I looked at it as a cost,
right?
And if you're not getting a return on investment, it is a cost, So, but an employee is also a cost, but they should be producing revenue, you know, or helping to produce revenue in some way so that, you know, they're an asset. So digital marketing, in my opinion, it really is an asset, but it can be hard to get over the fact that you may not have a direct correlation right away of I pay $1,000, this ad goes out, and in a week I get X amount of new patients. Because that's not usually the way human beings work in those situations in particular. You know, so in your experience, what have you found with Facebook, like a Facebook strategy? Like, what's the duration of time that somebody needs to really put into it to start to develop a framework of how much return on investment they can expect?
Yeah. And so going back to that, you know, looking at Facebook as an employee, like, and kind of what you were hitting on there is, if you were to bring in someone new to your practice or something, you wouldn't be like, all right, come on, you've been here 3 days. Like, yeah. You really need to be producing more and doing a little bit more for me. It's been 72 hours. Like, what the hell's going on? I'm giving you money, right? You know, I'm giving you money to be here. Like, that you wouldn't do that to an employee that you just hired, but you would have that expectation over time. That's the same with Facebook advertising. Especially if your brand is not known or recognized by people seeing it in their feed, they have to get accustomed to that. A lot of brand awareness has to go on. But I would typically say, and what I typically hold to, are 90-day cycles. And, you know, that can kind of be true of an actual employee too. You give them about a quarter to find out if they're going to work out or not. And so I'd say 90 days, because that's really what it takes to, especially if you're new and you don't, and let's be honest, most of you don't, who are listening to this, don't have out your like true like lifetime value and what you can pay for a customer or client or anything like that. You don't actually have that stuff written down somewhere. And so it takes about 90 days to learn those numbers and also let the Facebook ads run and do their thing.
All right. Explain that a little bit more in detail. So this idea of what you can afford to pay, I think this was sort of like a light bulb moment for me whenever I started looking at, paying for traffic essentially and how much I could afford. So like, explain how you can figure out what you can afford to pay for ads.
Okay. Yeah. So let me just break it down into my business, because it'd be easier because I can talk off more of my experience as opposed to trying to put it in any other different format. So what we have, my main primary income stream with Into 3 Fitness, even though we sell a lot of different things and do a lot of different things, is Garage Gym Athlete, which is monthly recurring revenue. We provide a service, a really great service for these athletes to get programming. And so, but we start with a trial. It's a 14-day trial. We really want people to see if we're a good fit before they give us any money. And so what I'm looking at on Facebook ads is, how much can we pay for a trial? Well, if I know that my conversion rate is somewhere between 65 and 70%, meaning people sticking around after the 14-day trial, and I had 100 people come in, so say, let's round up, say I get to keep 70 of them, and I paid $25 for all 100 of those to come in, $25 a piece, right? So now we're up to 2,500, and I know that 70% of them are going to stick around. I didn't do the math ahead of time, but if it's 70 times 25, which is our first hit, I don't know what that math is, but I don't know if I would be at break even or close or above. But then if it's not right away, I also know my average stick rate, how long they're going to stick around. So if they're going to stick around for 6 to 8 months times $25, now I'm way ahead, but that took me 8 months possibly to do and to scale and to continue to see. So breaking down all those metrics will give you how much you can pay per person, pay per customer, per trial, per athlete, whatever it is in your business. And hopefully, without actually going to a whiteboard, that all makes sense.
Well, it sounds very similar. I mean, it is exactly the same as the way that we look at, acquiring a new customer, right? Like a new client for us, we know initial value of them is worth right around $1,000, the lifetime value being a good solid 3 to 4 times higher than that, depending on if they move into any continuity programs and things that we have. That doesn't even include them referring a friend or family member. Like, so the value of one person to us is pretty high. So, you know, when we look at it, like, okay, let's say we spend $3,000 on Facebook ads in 3 months and you get one new patient out of that. Now that would suck. We wouldn't be super happy about that, but technically we potentially would break even over, sort of a lifetime value of that patient. So if you look at it that way, you know, it's, you can afford to pay a decent amount to get somebody in your door. Now you want to do it for the least amount possible and have a return on that. But I think one of the things that people look at with social media advertising is they put things out there. You're right. They give it like 3 days and they've then spent $15. So they probably do $5 a day. And after 3 days, they're like, oh shit, the relevancy score is low. Let me pull this. And then it's done. And what they haven't done is actually let it even like run its course to see if it's a good advertisement or not. You know, so for you, when you're looking at, you put something up, how do you gauge if it's worth leaving up or not? And how long do you give it?
Yeah, so there are different types of ads, and I guess the answer would be different for each. So we have content ads that we run, which are just basic articles and podcasts and things like that, you know, just trying to get more people aware of who you are and what you do. Those I do still look at those, even though we have a positive ROI on them. I look at that as like just an expense. I think that if you want to get your message out to people and have a really broad reach, that's going to cost you some money. That it shouldn't be free. It's not going to be free. Now, if you can figure out how to get a positive ROI on that, that's great. But you know, that's kind of a, you know, we can get more into that later. And then there's lead generation ads. And those are, you know, how much does a lead cost? And then there's retargeting ads, which we do a lot of. So you visited certain page. And so we will come back. Now, how long do we let each of those run? Content ads, we just continuously run. And like I said, that's to reach new people. And that is kind of the one I look at like, okay, well, you know, we're just going to run this constantly because I always want new people finding out about, you know, Into 3 Fitness, our company. Now, to answer your question about how long should you leave like a lead generation ad campaign going up? Well, that kind of depends on your business. How strong is your follow-up? How often do you email your list? And you don't have to have this all like automated campaign and all these promotions and everything. Like I email my list pretty regularly, intentionally. It's just something I do as part of my weekly routine. It's part of my business. We have things going on. I want people to know about them. And so what I found, you know, just through that is it can take about 90 days for someone to go from, hey, I gave you my email address because I wanted to learn more about something to, all right, you're pretty cool. I'll buy something. Now, retargeting is a lot different. And I think this is where every business should start, to be honest, is retargeting. So retargeting is essentially someone's visited a certain page on your website. Those should be almost immediately profitable. And I'm talking about within the first 2 weeks. If they're not profitable within the first 2 weeks, you're doing something wrong. The offer's wrong. Something's wrong. You need to turn them off because those are basically like reminders. Retargeting is just reminders. So someone was going to buy something and then they were like, they forgot, they got busy. This retargeting ad's like, hey, did you forget about this? 10% off, whatever you want it to be. Those should be profitable pretty fast. So content ongoing, lead generation at least 90 days. Retargeting, I would only give about 1 to 2 weeks before I would try something new.
So retargeting and content lead generation. So you talk about retargeting being sort of the low hanging fruit, I guess would be a good way to put that. Mm-hmm. So what is it about that you feel like has the best ROI? And when somebody does that, is there a duration of time that they should be retargeting somebody? Like for instance, 2 weeks after they visited your site or like for that time, or do you do it indefinitely? Like I'll retarget you for a year until you decide to become a
patient. No, yeah. I would do visited a certain page within the last 14 days, you know, yeah. Typically within the last 2 weeks and not indefinitely because the ads will just burn out and they won't work if you're building up that big list. And it's also going to save you on ad costs. So say you have 10 people visiting this page that you want to retarget per day, you know, that's just going to build up over time. And eventually those people aren't going to care about the ads. But if it's, you know, 10 people on a rolling basis every 2 weeks who are seeing it, and then people drop off that list, new people get added to that list, then that's what's going to make retargeting continue to work. Because some people, they did want to buy from you, but they honestly saw a video about a cat and started watching that instead of clicking on your stuff or whatever they had to do. And they get a retargeting and they're, oh yeah. And another reason they work so well is because these people, some people do retargeting just like, hey, you visited my website, retarget. And that's okay, especially if you have a low traffic website. But if you feel like you're getting a decent amount of traffic for your business, and I say for your business because it's different for every type of business, how much traffic you should be getting, you know, they're just being reminded on a specific page. They were really interested. They really wanted to do it, but something stopped them. And now they have a reminder to do that as opposed to just, you know, somebody who's never heard of you before in Atlanta just signing up because you had an ad versus someone who went to your Athlete's Potential website, you know, was on the like contact page, you know, they wanted to know something, right? So they were really in that process, but they just stopped for some reason.
Yeah, that's a good point. The retargeting though is a great, I mean, it's very valid because think of how busy we all are. Like potentially some of you listening to this are scrolling through Instagram right now. So you're listening right. to a podcast, probably many of you, and you're scrolling through Instagram. And if you go to my page and you look at the picture I put up of the cat with the Iron Man helmet on that's made out of a lemon, that would be a good example of why you can get distracted from cat pictures or whatever it is, right? So your clients, your potential customers are doing the same thing, you know, and this is sort of the reason why it's so beneficial to get your brand or your message in front of them on multiple touch points. So, I mean, I think it was the average, they say, like, then you see it like 7 to 9 times before they can make a buying decision typically.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, and that's why you want to have those follow-up campaigns, because you so need so many touches with a brand new contact for them to be able to, you know, like, and trust you. And I trust everyone, you know, when I work with people, maybe more on the business side, everyone really wants to let me know up front how much they care about the people in their practice or the people on their email list and all that other stuff. And like, that should be a given, right? Okay. Like if I'm talking to you about business, then like we're already in alignment there. Okay. I don't think that you're some shyster, right? So you should be, you know, putting out your best information to these people. You don't need to worry about, you know, spamming them or whatever, right? You have something good to offer and you should be excited about giving that. So your touch points, going back to that, should be, okay, they see the ad, they see a retargeting ad, you have an email campaign, and as many different ways you can do that is going to add up to those 5 to 7 touches that you're talking about that it really takes. And so it doesn't always have to be just Facebook ads, but it could be, yeah, like, okay, one touch, first ad, second touch, retargeting ad, third touch, you know, three more touches, three more emails, something like that, to try and make sure that you're kind of indoctrinated into their life and they know about you and what you're doing.
So with your business, so with Garage Gym Athlete in particular, do you guys have you been able to map out like the normal relationship development that occurs before someone becomes a client?
No.
You know, it's really hard to do.
So for our business, it is. And the reason I laugh is because I've been trying to do it for like a year and a half. Yeah. Like actually like either having somebody submit a report or me doing the report myself of like, basically, hey, what was this customer's journey before they became a garage gym?
Yeah.
And that's what I want to know. And we have a lot of different things that report that. And dude, it's all over the place. We'll get people who like, they've been on the website for 8 minutes and they signed up for a Garage Gym Athlete and they were a member for 6 months. And then we have someone who has been around, became a subscriber 2 years ago and decided to sign up yesterday. And there was no promotion or anything that led them to do that. So it gets really hard to do that. If you're on a much smaller basis, it's probably possible. So what we kind of stopped doing that, and we really just track like overall profitable campaign or not profitable campaign over time. And we give a lot of time to decide whether a campaign is profitable or not profitable. But man, if I could like master what that customer journey was, we really could scale up even further. But it's more like, you know, I had a great marketer explain this to me as like, you know, we could talk about funnels and like all this stuff, right? And this is the direction you want people to go. You want them to do thing one first, thing two second, open this email, click this link, do this, that. That's not what people do. Your business is way more like Disneyland or Disney World. And they walk in, they're introduced to you, but they might want to go on this ride first, or they might want to go eat first, or they might want to go do something else because you offer a lot of different things. And so they could get to the end point at, you know, some way, shape, or form, but you're never really going to know what that is because everyone's so different.
Well, especially online, right? I mean, I think there's just one of the guys that I like a lot is Frank Kern, and he always says, he's hilarious. He always goes, you're always competing with porn. Like, that's right. What you're competing with. Like, you're competing with nudity. He's like, good luck. You know, so you got to be on your game. If you're trying to like help somebody make a buying decision online, yeah, it's like cat videos and nudity. So that's tough to compete with. And people like, whatever, something comes up or they were looking at something and then, oh, they had to go, whatever, get something out of the oven. And then all of a sudden they totally forgot. I mean, there's plenty of things. Like, think about how many times you've like opened a screen on like on your phone and then you meant to go back to it and you just totally forgot. And then you just forget what it was. Yeah,
like I have like three tabs on my computer right now of things I'm going to buy. I'm just like not doing it yet, but yeah. it's like a new course or a new something. I'm like, it's okay, it's there. Like I'll remember, but I'm just not doing it right now. And I'm already seeing the retargeting ads for it because these guys are on their game. But I'm like, I'm going to buy it. Like I just haven't gotten around to it. You know?
Yeah, unless you accidentally, you know, like restart your computer and then all those browsers get, you know, basically deleted out. So then you forget what it was you're going to purchase. Like that's what happens to me. I'll have like 15 things open and then one of the best things that can happen to me is I just restart my computer and it doesn't open back up. Nothing ever changed. But you know, I mean, that's just the way the brain works. So I think that maybe the better way to look at it is how can you utilize something in this paid marketing system to essentially in an organized manner, start to move people from types of traffic. So I'd say go over the three types of traffic and sort of how you feel that Facebook ads can fit into that in really any business, any service business, I would say.
Yeah. So you have cold, warm, and hot traffic, right? So cold traffic are people who've never heard of you. They don't know anything about you. And so you don't want to really start with, and just think about the guy at the party, right? Like this is probably the best example I've heard explained is you're at a Christmas party and then you walk up to, you know, Frank somebody and he's like, "Hey, my name's Frank. I sell life insurance. How are you prepared to die?" And it's like, you know, like it's like, okay, dude, I don't want to associate with you at the party. But if I walk up to the same guy, he does sell life insurance, but he says, you know, something along the lines of like a helpful tip. He's like, and doesn't say anything about him selling life insurance. He just gives me some sort of awesome tip about, you know, how I could save money on something with my current life insurance. But then he just kind of walks off, whatever. Like, okay, now I know Frank. Now come around New Year's and I see Frank again. I'm like, "Hey, yeah, you gave me a really good tip, man. I worked with my financial advisor. That was awesome. You know, I want to talk to you a little bit more." So what I've just explained, cold traffic, you're introducing something. You're just giving some value, typically at your cost. So an awesome article that's going to help somebody. And really, I always urge people to give their best stuff away for free. Don't have some sort of like, "I'm going to give you 1/3 of the answer. And to get the rest, you're going to have to pay me money." Like that just pisses people off. So give people the full answer that you're okay with giving in your content. And then you can go to warm traffic. Now, warm traffic could be people on your email list if they've opted in for something, be people who visited your website, or just people who are aware of your brand, have interacted with your Instagram or Facebook page or something like that. Like I said, we're now at Frank with New Year's. And I want to talk to Frank a little bit more because he gave me some really awesome tips that helped me at the Christmas party. Now at the New Year's party, I see the same guy. And now Frank's like, "You know what? I could really help you a lot more, but like, just give me your name and your email, phone number. And you know, I'm going to follow up with like the best plan for you possible. But I'm going to have to sit down and do it." Right. So I'm going to give him my contact information because he already gave me something that's awesome for free. Now I'm giving him my contact information. Now going back to our example, This is your warm lead, right? Now I've given him my contact information. That's what most of us want to be able to communicate with customers. And then, you know, going to hot, like he's going to sell me something. He's going to get me into his office and sell me something. And then he'll probably sell me more on top of that. And that's what you're really supposed to do with hot traffic, is making sure that you're constantly keeping them engaged or selling them more things to some degree. You know, like in Garage Gym Athlete, we don't sell a lot to our current and active members. And that's just, I don't, you know, we do sometimes, we have some things like apparel and whatnot, and we give them a discount, but I don't really feel comfortable like hitting people who are already paying something every single month to be like, "Hey, give us more money for something else." Like I just give all of our athletes everything for free if there's anything new and they're paying that monthly fee. But if you are having like a more one-off service type, you want to sell them more or get them back in the door or do something, because that's going to be really where most of your business profit lies.
Well, this is a great example with physical therapy practices in general, is usually, you know, we've seen a decent amount of people and, you know, I don't know, it just depends how long you've been in business, how long your practice has been around, but you may have anywhere between a couple hundred to a couple thousand people on an email list because, you know, they worked with you directly. Like you have pretty much everything. You have to get everything you need from a liability standpoint, or maybe if you're checking insurance benefits, all that. So you have a lot of information. Now that's a list of people that you can essentially target online that is more of a one-off sort of purchase, and use that in a way retargeting to help get in front of them again, because maybe they forgot about, you know, wanting to work with you, and they got busy. So a bit different than from what Jared's describing, which is more of a ongoing recurring service. You probably have a list of people that is stagnant, that has already paid you, has already worked with you, and they may just have forgotten about you or have gotten busy. And that's a gold mine. That's the lowest hanging fruit available for any business, is to retarget people that have already worked with and try to get them back in the door. So for something like that in particular, what type of call to action, what type of ad have you found to be the most effective for like retargeting?
So retargeting, are you talking about selling to the people who've already bought for you, or just retargeting in general, like warm audience?
So let's talk about the people that have already bought from you, but I would be interested in both actually.
Okay. So people who've already bought from you, like typically if you've already bought something from me, I'm going to offer you some sort of deal. Cause you already know how we operate. You like our training. And so it's typically some sort of discount, in our program. So, if you're already a member, already on the email list, hey, you get a discount for an unlimited amount of time. And that's worked really well because you're actually discounting the product, and there's only one way to do it, and that's have purchased something. That's only you'll see the ad or get the email or something like that. So I mean, that's pretty simple, but discounts work pretty well, especially if they're already interested in something. Now retargeting warm traffic, I mean, you can really do anything here. So what we primarily do with people who've gone from like, okay, I've never heard of Into 3 Fitness to now I've read an article, is just, that's where we do all of our lead generation. We do a lot of lead generation to cold traffic too. It's a little bit more expensive, but that's another thing that you're doing here by letting people see content first, is you're going to lower your lead cost by people knowing who you are and they're more interested. You're not having to just randomly put it in front of people.
Yeah, I think just the brand awareness is so important. You know, I mean, it's back in the day, you had to be like Coca-Cola or I don't know, Pepsi or somebody big like that to be able to get on commercials and radio and billboards, and they're like all over the place, right? But now we know that so many people spend a significant amount of time on their phone, on social channels in particular, that, you know, for not a ton of money, especially if you're, now this might be different for local business than like a 100% digital business like yours, because you can work with anybody from all over the world, right? Like we may have a really tight radius of a couple miles. Mm-hmm. And in some ways it almost makes it easier to get in front of the right people at the right time more frequently, because we know where they live, and they're going to be distance sensitive. But back in the day, you had to be Coke. Now, for, you know, not too much money, you can do that on a daily basis if you get your messaging right and you know who your people are, right? You just don't want to be wasting money. Like if you don't work with 65-year-old, I don't know, sedentary individuals, I would definitely be aware of who you're putting that message in front of. But you can get in front of the right people at the right, in the right location for fairly cheap. And is that where you feel like content ads really work the best?
Yeah, they're typically the most cost effective. Like that's why I normally go like, hey, start with some retargeting just to see if you have anyone who is interested that you missed. But then content would be next, just because it's fairly inexpensive. And you know, going back to your example of Pepsi and Coke, this stuff is all relatively new. We can track everything because there's a link and stuff. But even, you know, I've talked to you about, once you transition to ad to person, they could have walked into the door from a Facebook ad, but yeah. I think you guys do a phenomenal job of just asking the question, but they might not always know or remember, right? And so I think you starting with content is really good. You can start within your tight-knit radius, but like I said, going back to Coke and Pepsi, how they used to advertise was just throw a shit ton of stuff out there,
yeah.
And then they would look at Q1 sales and say, okay, I think that marketing directive is working, because nothing was really trackable. They could be like,
right.
Yeah. Like say Nike sent you and you know, that's the code you get for shoes, but again, not 100% trackable, but just saturation in general with content ads in your local area. So everyone knows Athlete's Potential is the one who is providing all this information. You're just running so much content, even if it's just locally, it's just the brand recognition, right? And you got the brand recognition on your door and on your sign. And like, so I would just run content ads really hard. Now, if I was brick and mortar, I probably would even experiment with like, depending on where you're at, but like billboards and flyers and everything. Like I would just get complete market saturation with my logo, and let people know who I am, and then work on, you know, retargeting and lead generation from there.
Well, yeah, it's like the dark ages of advertising, which is really interesting. I had a conversation with a marketing director of a pretty big physical therapy practice. They have probably like 80 or 90 practices, and I asked them like, what's your main marketing, channel? And they're like, well, TV, commercials. And I said, oh, cool. Like, how do you track that? And they go, well, we run the ads, and if our revenue goes up, and then it's working. And if we turn them off, then it goes down, you know? And I asked them, I said, man, how much money are you guys spending on commercials in this? And just, this is just in one of the major cities they were in. They were spending like $400,000 to $500,000 a year on TV commercials.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's exactly how my content. So I tell people to run content ads, but I mentioned that they are ROI positive for me, but I didn't used to track all this stuff. I was just running content ads. I don't know why even. I was just running content ads. I didn't have any strategy behind it.
You got a lot of content.
Yeah, I had a lot of content. That was the easiest thing to start with. And so what I did was I ran those for like a month or two. And, you know, I kind of noticed some like uptick in sales. And I was like, but I don't really know if it's from that. You know, it could have been anything. But then I turned them off. And then the sales dropped. And I did this for a couple months. I'd be like, wait, on, sales increase. Off, sales decrease. I'm like, oh, okay, now I need to track whether these content ads are actually bringing in any revenue. And this is exactly just the old school method of like, and that whole time I thought I was wasting money, right? For several months. I was like, these content ads are wasting money, but they're not. You know, people are learning about you. It might take them 30 days, might take it, who knows what the life cycle is for your potential customer, but it will result in revenue. Like, I mean, that's where the big dogs play, right? Is they just want to get in front of as many people as possible. You know, like, and we're talking about the Nike and Cokes and like all that. They just want to be in front of as many people as possible. Cause I heard Russell Brunson joke one time, you know, marketing guru, right? About how stupid Nike and Coke were. And I thought those are some big words cause he's got a decent sized company, but nothing compared to these. Right.
Right.
And, but I think that's what he was missing or misunderstanding. Like, he wants to be able to track everything. They don't care. They already own the market everywhere. They just want to stay on top. And I think it's a different game when you're playing at that level, but to some degree, we can learn from them, from the fact that, hey, you need to be everywhere in front of everyone at all times.
No, it makes a ton of sense too. When you think about, you know, you getting your brand out in front of people and how do you want to lead that message? I think one of the biggest mistakes that I see is people that you try to utilize this platform for something like, hey, click here to book an appointment with us. We're X, Y, and Z physical therapy place. And you're running those ads to cold traffic. Like, they don't know who you are. And, you know, your whole conversation of like, hey, you need life insurance, you're going to die soon, whatever. Like,
right.
Like, dude, I don't even know you. You know, what are you trying to sell me at this Christmas party on? Like, it's not a good time to do that. So I think if you take anything away from this conversation, you know, it's that you have to understand that you have to have the right message in front of the right audience. And if you don't know where to start, your best bet is probably just to start with things that are helpful, that are not asking for anything in return, just to expose your methodology and your brand to the right people in the right area. And I think even doing something as simple as that probably puts you significantly ahead of many other medical practices in the country, because many people are just not even thinking about that initial start to the relationship.
Yeah. And here's the easiest way, like a big takeaway for everyone listening, like the easiest way to get started, kind of combining everything that we talked about. So what I would say do, if you're not doing this in a very big way, or maybe you are like what Danny and I talked about a minute ago, where it's like, I did this for 3 days, didn't work, I'm turning it off. So what I would do is set aside some amount of money you're comfortable with spending over the next 90 days. Set it aside, consider it gone. Like, you're going to gamble this money away. And whether that's $1,000, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever you want it to be. And then run some of the ads that we've talked about kind of in the order that I've talked about. You know, some sort of retargeting, see what happens there. Don't give those a lot of time. Then move to content. Then go to lead generation. And just spend that budget over the course of 90 days, no matter what. There's no not spending it. There's no, like, turning things off. You just need to run these things 90 days. Be okay with that money going away. And what's probably going to happen, there's a small chance you're just going to spend it all and get nothing in return. I really don't think that'll happen to most people. What I think will happen is at the 120-day point, or right after the 90-day point, you're going to start seeing more clients come in, and you're going to be like, well, maybe it's from the ads. Maybe it wasn't just like I was talking about. And it absolutely is going to be because of the ads and the brand awareness that you were doing. But that's kind of how I had to wrap my head around it at first, because I didn't have the money to just be randomly spending on Facebook ads. So, like, that's why I was like, okay, this much money, go into Facebook. If Facebook doesn't work, great, I'm going to do some other stuff. And that was, you know, kind of how I did it. And I think it helps mentally too, with spending that money and then waiting to see the results as well.
That's a great point, man. That's a really good way to put it. In particular, giving it those 90 days. Like the number one mistake I see is people that dip their toe into the water. They think they lose $50 because they've had an ad run for 10 days and they haven't had a patient directly come from that yet. And then they pull it. And it could be something that could have been a really good asset to their company. And I've been there too. Like, I've pulled a bunch of ads way before I should have, primarily because I would move on to the next thing. I'm like, oh, I read about this thing and whatever. And I think you really have to understand the basics of, if you have relevant content that people want to read and they will click to it to read it or watch it or whatever it is, you're strengthening a relationship with them. And if they've shown you they're interested in watching what you have to say or go to your website, then you can start to then offer them other things, whether there be something that they can opt in for, or maybe a phone consultation and actually chat with one of them or with one of your PTs or whatever it might be. But something that's the initial, you know, kind of logical next step for them, slowly, without just saying like, hey, come buy a 10 visit package from me. Like, I can fix your back. You know, they don't know who right. you are. It's not going to work.
Yeah. That stuff never works, man. And I've tried it. Like, it's hard. It's really hard to get in front of cold traffic. It doesn't matter if it's local cold traffic or just cold in general, and you're trying to sell something direct. Like, the only way I think that would work is if you were doing $10 physical therapy packages. You'd sell them like crazy, right? And you'd lose money and you wouldn't be able to handle it. And like,
you would just the wrong people.
Right. Yeah. And so there are ways to make it work, but it doesn't work out in the long run. So I think just getting your brand out there and making people more aware is the way to go.
Yeah. No. All right, guys. Facebook ads. I got a lot of questions about this. Hopefully this helps clear up some of the kind of basics when it comes to this stuff. We understand this stuff can be sort of complex, and you know, that's okay. You didn't go to school to learn how to be a marketer. You went to school to learn how to get your degree and help people that have back pain. But if you're in practice for yourself, this is definitely something that can help. So if it's something you're interested in, make sure you re-listen to this. Take some notes, write all this stuff down. You're talking to people, two people here that have spent a lot of money on Facebook, that have lost a lot of money on Facebook, and have made a lot of money on Facebook. So we made a lot of mistakes and learned the hard way. So at least hopefully you can take something from us and not have to like do it yourself. So Jared, man, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate you dropping some Facebook knowledge on us. And if anybody wants to check out your platform that you have so they can sort of see the way that you structure things, like, where can they go to find out more about your digital business?
If you go to garagegymathlete.com, would be the best place right now, and then just leave and then go to Facebook and you'll start getting retargeted right away.
or sign up, because it's some good ass programming too, by the way. Yeah. So you could just do that instead.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, you'll go to garagegymathlete.com or endo3fitness.com. You can kind of see what we're doing, what we're offering. And yeah, if you want to, you know, since we're kind of talking about the marketing, the business side of things, if you want to sign up for my newsletter and see my ads, to be honest, like, get into my ecosystem, you'll see what happens. And then, yeah, if you want to take the next step because you need to start training, then we're here for that as well.
Gosh, there you go. All right, dude. Hey, thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, man.
Hey, wait a minute. Just to let you guys know, we are closing in on 200 views on iTunes. That's crazy. Most podcasts hardly get to 100 views, let alone 200. And this is such a niche-specific PT business podcast. That's wild. So let's try to rally the troops and get to 200 reviews for this podcast. The first thing you need to do is you got to subscribe to this sucker, whether it's on iTunes or any other platform that you're listening to on, so you know when new episodes are coming out. The next thing, make sure that you leave a review. I'd love to hear what you have to say. I read all of them. It means a lot to me. The next thing, guys, take a screenshot of whatever episode you're listening to and put it in your stories on Instagram and tag me in it. That's at Danny Matei PT. If you do this, I will repost it. So you'll get a bump. I'll get a bump. We'll share this information with a lot more people, because that's the goal, guys. We want to get this information in front of a lot more people. So take a screenshot, share it on Instagram stories, tag me in it, and I will repost it. So here we go. Let's try to get to 200 reviews for the podcast. Thanks for listening.